We are here to fulfill and entertain you for the next 3 hours. Frank seriously is not in the studio today. You know, and as I look back on it, Thursday, normally he teases that when somebody's going to host a show. This is the second time I've done it. Scott's done it. Of course, Bill's done it. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why he's not here. Why did he say he's not
this
here?
Time, actually, he's going to check out the wedding venue in Vegas. So right now, he's on his way back from Vegas.
Right.
They were in Vegas all weekend because, actually, Sandy talked to his daughter Amanda while they were in Vegas over the weekend.
So he's not brought up for the last couple of weeks these dancing lessons he's taking with his wife. And I know that he's you know, shot videos of it, and he's talked about how much more confidence he's had in the as himself and a dancer. And so forth. Am I out in left field here, or is the star of the wedding supposed to be the daughter and the husband, and now Frank and his wife are going to like have this marquee dance act? I mean, are they doing this as like part of the ceremony, or they're just going
to
they're just going to clear the room and surprise everybody and say, "Hey, guess what we just learned while our daughter was engaged?" Or how exactly is that going to go down?
I think he just wants to know how to dance, and they're going to dance whenever, you know, the DJ or whatever they have starts playing the music, and then he can dance. And I think what he would really like, even though he'll tell you he doesn't, I think what he wants is everybody to circle around.
Mm-hmm. And kind of like watch him
and watch them and go, yeah, you know, like they do in the movies.
Well, are they going to Facebook stream it live or anything? Is this something you think we'll ever see a video of it?
Nah. Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, you guys are in disagreement already.
No, heck yeah, you'll see a video of it.
A video maybe, but Facebook live in? Nah, that's
maybe.
Not going to happen.
Maybe.
On a scale of 1 to 10, Limey, how good of a dancer are you?
About a 3.
About a 3.
Now, about a 3.
Are we talking about classic, the white boy, front foot, left foot, right foot,
and then like, shoulder jiggle? Yeah, I can work in the shoulder jiggle as well, you know, maybe give it like, throwing the dice or something
dice?
You know? I think that's the dance move. No, I don't dance. I'm the guy who sits at the bar and drinks. That's what I do.
When's the last time you went clubbing and actually got drug out on the dance floor?
Oh.
Been a while?
I'd say about a year.
Now, Dan, you happen to be in a band. Rumor has it. Is that true?
Yes, it is true.
Today's the first I ever heard of that.
It is true.
What's the name of the band again?
Seventh Planet Band.
Seventh Planet Band.
We played Saturday night. I have a story about that, too, but we played Saturday night.
Okay, so
Redfish, Bluefish.
Frank Opinion, when he was in high school back in the 40s, apparently had a teacher whose last name was Burke. It was a history teacher. Mr. Burke. And he started off every 15 minutes of class with the Burke segment. Now, the difference between Frank and Mr. Burke is that I guess Mr. Burke gave the guillotine on it at the 15-minute mark.
Right.
You could be in mid-sentence, and the guillotine came down, and the next 45 minutes was about history class.
He did, yes.
Well, with Frank, first of all,
I think Frank's trying to call in, Dan, by the
Frank,
way.
Frank will go the first, you know, 50 minutes of the show, and then say hi to Limey and me and Dan, and then the Burke segment will start. But he doesn't put the guillotine on it, you know, right there at the
we get free
at the 15
rain,
minute mark.
Right.
Exactly. So with that being said, we will start in honor of Frank the Burke segment.
Hold on. No, we have to grab that call.
Okay. I got it.
It is Frank.
Oh boy.
Okay, here we go.
It's our first car. Hi, caller. You're on the air. You've won $5,000. Congratulations. What's your name?
My name is Frank, and I need more than that because I'm in Vegas, and I just lost a bunch of money.
Oh, man.
So here's the deal. First of all, listening, I heard you already start making fun of me about how I would respond to, that's not funny. Great impressions, by the way. Here's the thing about the dancing. I'm glad you brought the dancing up because, you know, Limey says he's a 3 on a 1 to 10. Here's the thing. It's my daughter's wedding. I have one daughter. If you've ever been anywhere when people get out on the floor and dance, all they do, if it's a slow dance, you know, they move left and right, left and right. They kind of rock back and forth, down to the music. If it's a fast dance, women generally look kind of hot or cute, just moving. Men look like a chicken on hot coals. They just kind of, like a marionette. They just kind of jump around and look stupid. So as a couple, very few couples look really good out on the dance floor. So we've had, get ready, we've had 20 lessons. 20.
Wow.
By the way, thanks for not hitting da, da, da. So, here's the way I think about it. I figure that Dancing with the Stars, that would be a 10 on a 1 to 10.
Yeah.
The average couple on a dance floor is maybe a 2. They're just not that good. We're going to be about a 6, maybe a 7, which means, I mean, we're going to be the stars on the dance floor. And no, we're not going to be the stars of the wedding, but for one brief shining moment, we're going to look pretty good compared to most people on the dance floor. So that's all it is. It's just to no longer be an average schlub on a dance floor.
My advice to you, Frank, would be for at least 2 months prior to this event that you not have sex, because you might throw your back out, and then all those lessons would just be gone to complete naught. So you just have to lay down the law, you know, send her a memo, send her some flowers. It's going to have to be a Frank free zone in the bedroom for at least 2 months prior to this wedding. Take my advice.
Yeah, I had a dropout there for a second. Why is it that, what did you say I need to do for 2 months?
I said you can't have sex for 2 months prior to this, because if you throw out your back, all these lessons will be gone to naught, and then you'll be nothing left of you on wedding night. So you need to take care of yourself. You're not getting any younger. If you want me to I'll send your wife an email. If you don't want to tell her, I'll send your wife an email. But she's no sex for 2 months.
Okay, somebody's giving me misinformation. It's either you or her, because she says 6 months. I'm going with your advice. I like the 2 month thing.
Tell her Dr. Woodburn just cut that down in by 2/3, and it's only 2 months that you need to go solo.
Well, We're actually in a car in Vegas. I mean, so she's sitting right here, but she's not allowed to talk. It's a union thing, so she heard you, and she's not happy with you right now, making us have sex 2 months before the wedding. She's not happy about that.
I think get your timer out on your iPhone and click how many minutes it takes her between times that she complains about your driving skills, and see if she can set a new opinion record.
Oh no, I had to put while I'm on the phone right now driving. I had to put one of those, because we're in a car. We got a car, and I had to put, you know, those dominatrix ball gags. I had to put one of those on her so you wouldn't hear her telling me, "Don't turn here. Watch out for that guy. He's putting on his brakes. Somebody's coming up beside you." Blah, blah. It never ends. So here's the other thing about the dancing. It's one thing to be able to dance, but if you're going to really dance and look pretty good, then you have to also look, your appearance has to be right. So now I have the dilemma, what shoes, what jacket? I want a killer sport coat, not just your average. You know, I want a dancer's coat, so I got to figure all out.
You got to wear patent leather shoes.
Right.
I'm gonna be... And comb your hair.
Oh, that's a good one. That's good.
There you go.
That's good.
You're dropping out.
I'm not taking any more of this abuse. I'll be there. I'll be back tomorrow.
All right.
All right. Looking forward
to
it.
Safe travels to you, sir.
See you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
And take the ball gag out of your wife's mouth.
What a thing to say.
That'd be a great giveaway, huh? FOP ball gags? Like if we did remotes and stuff, you know? Hey, little Johnny, would you like an FOP ball gag?
Yes.
I'll take two.
That'll be fabulous.
All right. Well, right before Frank predictably rudely interrupted us, even though he's the only talk show host in St. Louis that can interrupt you when he's not even on the show. That's talent.
That's his power of interrupting.
It takes skill and it takes talent to do something like that. So as I was saying, Frank's history teacher, Mr. Burke, would put the guillotine on the Burke segment, the 15-minute mark. We don't do that that way. We just let the guillotine stay up, and we just take it the whole hour if necessary. And so, gentlemen, I behoove you, in honor of Frank, does anybody have anything to say?
I do. I'll go first because mine's really quick.
Nice.
All right. I would like to wish everybody...
First, I'd like to introduce you who you are.
Apologies.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Trevor Limestone, Limey Phillips. Take it away, Trevor.
Thank you, Tim.
You're welcome.
All right, this is for, like, you know, a belated happy Cinco de Mayo, is it?
No, today is Cinco de Seis de Mayo.
Okay, Seis de Mayo. So, all right, Cinco de Mayo was yesterday. I would just like to wish everybody a happy belated Cinco de Mayo. All right, that's it. That's all I got. Dan, take it away.
What did you do? What do British people do on Cinco de Mayo? Because it's you're British, but you're in America, and it's a Mexican thing. So what do you do?
I just went out and ate a lot of street tacos and had some margaritas. I had a productive Sunday yesterday.
How productive? We'll be the judge of that.
I got up at 8 a.m. 7:45, and I was out the door at 8 a.m. to help my buddy who's moving into a new place. So I had to, you know, unloading a truck, reloading a truck, like putting up stuff in basements. Then after that, went grocery shopping. After that, went on a hike with another friend of mine. Then after that, did some stuff for school because today is my official start date. So I kind of just went through like the syllabus and stuff like that.
So you're a student now also?
Yeah, I am officially a university student.
Whoa!
Thank you very much. Thank you. This is mostly online, right? Yeah, yeah. No, this is all online. Oh, so that's where all of my stuff is getting done. So that was kind of cool. And then I went out. There's a local restaurant by me in South County, La Fiesta. Delicious tacos. Went there, had some tacos, margaritas, and then chilled for the rest of the night.
What's the difference between a street taco and a restaurant taco?
I have no idea.
Well, why are they called street tacos?
I think a street taco is kind of like, it's a very simple taco. You just had the tortilla, meat on top, and then a little bit of pico de gallo on top of that. Whereas if you go to like, you know, it's like a restaurant, you're going to get beans, sour cream, lettuce. It's going to come on like, you know, presented nice with everything on it, touched up garnishes and stuff like that. Whereas a street taco, it's just like, I think they just keep it simple. Like, you know, just here are the ingredients. This is what you got.
See, you know, skinny guys like you aggravate me to no degree. How many did you eat?
Four.
See, that's ridiculous. And I'll bet you're not a pound heavier today than you were yesterday, are you?
Absolutely.
No, that's a joke. That's ridiculous.
Because of the refried beans.
Wow.
Yeah, that could be also. Yeah.
All right.
Delicious. I have it up.
That sounds like a pretty productive Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know what they call a Mexican guy that's drowning in mayonnaise?
Mm-mm.
Oh, God.
Cinco de Mayo.
I don't get it.
Hello, everybody.
Ha, 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 ha. When I, you know, we're going to have another, by the way, we're going to have a rematch of the 5 o'clock joke off today that of all people, Sir Nerd-a-Lot, Bill Cleveland won the last time we did this, and his joke was actually pretty good. He's in North Carolina right now, so I can call him things like that.
Yeah, you can.
So, I demanded a joke off rematch. So instead of Frank telling a joke in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to have a joke off rematch, and, that'll be something to look forward to. Now, as I was whittling down my options and my choices for what my joke is going to be today, I actually heard a new, what do you call a man with no arms and no legs joke that I had never heard before. I thought I had heard every one. And the thing that troubles me is that the actual answer is the same answer of another man with no arms and no legs joke.
Yeah.
But I think the one that I had never heard before is actually funnier than the one I'd heard today. So you tell me which one you think is funny, all right?
Okay.
Okay, so the traditional one with no man's... What do you call a man with no arms and no legs who falls in a hole?
I don't know.
Phil. You didn't know that?
No.
Phil.
I never heard that one.
Okay.
Phil.
All right. Well, so that one, you know, I'll give that a three. Okay. I'll give that three or a four. So now I hear another one with the same punchline. Ready? This is great, because you already know what the punchline is going to be before I tell the joke. Ready? What do you call a man with no arms and no legs who's hung like a horse?
What?
Phil. What do you mean, what? I just told you this punchline is the same as the last one.
Oh.
How did you forget that?
I don't know.
30 whole seconds passed when I told you, now this joke's going to have the same punchline. I say the second joke and you say, what?
All right, you want two dad jokes?
Yeah, let's hear them.
All right, what did one road say to the other road?
What?
Let's meet at the crossing.
Oh, that's a one. That's a one.
That's terrible, wasn't it?
That's a one on a good day.
That's a negative one.
What is the difference between a lion and a giraffe?
What?
The giraffe has the longer neck.
I don't even get that. That's a zero. Can you explain that to me?
It's just the common sense.
It's
just the common sense.
Somebody's texting over some terrible ones. I can't actually read. I'll have to read them off.
No arms, no legs jokes are we talking about?
No. Oh, what? Like, wow, man.
I know the ones about the guy, no arms and no legs, that sits in front of a door. Matt.
Yeah, exactly. Art, Phil, Bob, on the wall. Frank, you know, I got them all.
Second base.
Eileen, we know there's all of them out there. There's all of them out there. You know, that actually reminds me, I think this might be, I'm, I, I, it might be a little too dirty to tell on the air because I know two jokes that have the mm-hmm. same one word punchline and you'll never see the second one coming. But I had to think of a way to tell it. I might use that as my joke off come because I'm all set for the joke off today. But I might have to. I'm gonna write that down. It involves taxi drivers at Lambert Airport. So I'll write that down. All right, that it for you, Limey?
No. Got another one that's just as dumb if you want that. My Burke segment is dumb.
I don't think the joke. I don't think it's possible to have a joke dumber than the one you just told. I don't think any listener can quite be dumber than the one you just said. Do you?
I think this
Dan,
one
do you
is.
Have, Dan, do you have faith in our listeners to be dumber than Limey, or you think Limey, we've dumbed out?
Hey, those weren't my jokes.
Oh, sure. No, they can be as dumb as Limey.
Whoa. They were not my jokes. I was just reading them. I didn't want to take any credit for that.
You told two jokes. One was a one, one was a zero. Okay? So right now your average score is 0.5.
And all after right. Limey reads that, Brenda has two no arms and no legs jokes.
Here we go.
All right. So two cows are standing on a field, and one suddenly says to the other one, "Muh." The other one gets disappointed and says, "Don, I was just about to say that." I'm not even giving it a rim shot.
Oh, that's a throwback.
I think it is a throwback.
Yeah, it's a throwback to when we were doing the mug game. We stopped doing that.
Let's go to the last three jokes Limey's told have been a one, a zero, and a minus one.
Yes.
So maybe Brenda can help us get our show average up just a little bit. By the way, our phone lines, if you'd like to participate in the program, I'll give them to you once. They are 855-282-TALK, 855-282-8255, or 314-821-0590. Dan Strauss and Trevor Phillips, I'm Tim Woodburn. We're all sitting in for Frank today. Brenda, you are up first today. Congratulations. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right.
Okay, so what do you call a guy with no arms and no legs in a pool?
Bob.
Yeah.
See, I thought I know him.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So what do you call a girl that got run over by a steam roller?
A girl that got run over by a steamroller, or a girl with no arms and no legs that got run over by a steamroller?
Just a girl that got run over by a steamroller.
What do you call a girl that got run over by a steamroller?
Flat.
Patty.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That's terrible.
Brenda, but luckily, the two jokes you told, one of which I'll give a two, one of which I'll give at least a three, were way better than the 1-0 and minus one that Limey had. So congratulations on that. The show's trending upward, as they say in social media, because of you, and I want you to take full credit for that.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Bye.
What do you call a chicken that can count its own eggs?
What?
Oh, math chicken.
I think Dan told that joke on the air the other day.
Yeah, I did.
And you didn't laugh then. I mean, why are you laughing now?
Because it's actually kind of funny now. A math machicken.
A math machicken?
Yeah.
All right. You know what? This is so dumb. I'm gonna tell a bonus joke that is not worthy of the 5 o'clock joke off. But it's one that I hadn't heard in a long time, and I thought it was hilarious. A blonde woman is racing down the highway in her little red sports car, and she gets pulled over by a blonde police officer.
Mm-hmm.
Blonde driver, blonde police officer. The blonde cop walks up to the car, and she has to see the blonde driver's driver's license. Blonde goes over, and she starts digging in her purse. She's digging, and she's digging, and she's digging, and she can't find it. She's getting upset. She finally looks at the cop. She says, what does it look like? And the cop goes, it's square, and it has your picture on it. Blonde goes, oh, yeah, okay. And so the blonde starts digging in her purse again. She starts digging in her purse, and she finds
this mirror.
She finds a square mirror, exactly, in her purse. And she looks at it, and she hands it to the policewoman. She goes, here it is. Blonde cop looks at the mirror and hands it back to her, saying, oh, that's okay. You can go. I didn't know you were a cop.
Frank's told that before.
It's so dumb.
I know.
It's so dumb, it's funny.
All right,
I know. It is.
What do you call two guys with no arms and legs over a window?
No idea. I haven't heard that one.
Curtain rod.
Oh, curtain rod. That makes sense. That makes sense.
If you want, do you want to give out the text line number as well? It's the same as
the text line to text us as we shamefully get through these next 3 hours. 855-282-8255. 855-282-TALK. Or 314-821-0590 if you'd like to call the show. We are going to have a joke off in the 5 o'clock hour. Josh Ballman's going to talk tech in the 4 o'clock hour as well. And Bill Clevin will be joining the show from North Carolina, where I was born. But I don't think he's going to the city.
You were born there?
I was born in Fayetteville at Cape Fear Valley Hospital.
He's going to... He's in... is it Durham? He's in
right, Raleigh, Durham.
He's but it, where's the place that the town Mayberry was taken after?
Mayberry.
Yeah, Mayberry. No, it was. It was. It's a different town. Bill has it. He put it on Facebook.
I'm sure so. Bill will have it.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, it is your turn for the Burke segment. I know you had a traumatizing incident occur to you this weekend, so by all means, let the listeners have it. Here's Dan Strauss, everyone.
All right, Saturday night, our band was playing at Redfish Bluefish out in St. Charles. Mm-hmm. And when we got there to set up, we get there usually early to set up. There was a guy there, and he was already partying pretty good. And he was a younger guy, maybe in his 30s. And he was just, you could tell, he's a guy that doesn't do well with drinking. You know, he becomes an obnoxious a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
And he was yelling when we were setting up, do a solo! So he's yelling for us to do solos every time we set something up. We get going. We start playing. Everybody, all these people come in, and it was my girlfriend Sandy's birthday that night. So we had a lot of people there, and he comes over to the table and sits down with Sandy and all the people there at the table, and he's like, how old are you? It's your birthday, hon. And he's getting in everybody's face, mm-hmm. and then he sits down next to this other girl and just gets right in her face and starts talking to her. Finally, Sandy's friend gets up, one of our friends gets up and walks over to the bartender and says, can you get this guy away from us and keep him away from us? Mm-hmm. So the bartender came over, got him out and everything, and took him over. So he hung out at the bar the rest of the night, and he was not very happy about anything. So we play, finish up the night. This guy leaves fairly early, probably 10:30, somewhere around there, 10:30, quarter to 11. We finish up at midnight. We're going out, and we get in the car. After I load my car up, get in the car, and I look on my windshield, and it's like, what in the heck is that on my windshield? I thought somebody put, like...
A midget?
No, not a midget. I thought they put some sort of a ticket or some sort of a flyer or something like that on my windshield. Mm-hmm. And we look around the parking lot, and there's no other cars that have anything like this on the windshield. So mm-hmm. I get out, and I look, and I'm looking at it, and I start to take this thing off, and it's mouse glue traps.
Ooh. What?
Well, there's two of them. They put mouse glue traps right in that's the line annoying. Of sight where you're supposed to be driving.
And they're glued to your window?
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah, they're glued to your window. Mm-hmm. So you cannot get them off.
Mm-mm. You can't peel them off, no.
No, it was a pain in the butt. So luckily, one of the guys that was in the party that we were having, he had a pocket knife, because we didn't have any razor blades or anything. He had a pocket knife, and he helped scrape these things off enough
right.
so I could see to drive home.
That's some, like, industrial-strength gum on the back of those guys. Do you still have any, like, residue on your windshield, or is it gone now?
It's pretty much gone. There might be just a little bit of residue. I got some mineral spirits.
Okay, that'll work.
Mineral spirits, and got it off yesterday. And I'm gonna rub it some more, because it looks like there's a tiny bit left.
If you have any of that Goo Gone stuff,
Goo Gone, yeah,
that works really well. Again, if you got to put in some elbow grease, but it works really well.
Yeah, I'll have to get some Goo Gone. But we thought that, and Sandy said that one of you guys had talked about maybe this was like the thing, the latest thing.
We talked about it on Thursday. Frank brought up the subject of women who have a shaved bottom boat.
Yeah.
Going back to the curlier, bushier style of appearance. I actually did some research on that over the weekend, and I found out that they actually have two different types of adherences for those. For the really good looking women, they use hot glue, and for all the other women, they use Gorilla Glue.
Really?
No, Dan, I'm just kidding. No, there is a thing called Gorilla Glue.
I know there is.
You honestly think that a physician would use a different type of glue on a woman based on her appearance?
No. Well, maybe they should.
Terrible. I got some more jokes if you want them.
I'll tear them.
So we got that off. But, Dan's not so anyway, I'm not finished. Just Just yet. So I know the guy that owns the club.
Right.
We went to college together, and I contacted him yesterday morning and asked him, I said, do you have cameras outside? Because we suspect it was this guy. I explained to him. Right. He said, we do have cameras outside. I will check them. So he's checking them today. He was getting there around between 3 and 4 or something like that. So he will be checking them. And
what's he going to do then? Is he going to give you the plate? Is he going to run the plate himself? Are you going to file a criminal complaint?
No, you know what? If we see the guy doing that, and then we have the plate that he can, for his car, I can call the police, right? And get him.
Well, if you have video of him actually attaching that to your car,
yeah.
I don't even know what the damages would be for something like that. I mean,
it's not like any body damage, right?
He glued something to your car, and so the level of the charge would be the amount of damage done to your car, and how do you prove damages? I mean, it's vandalism without a doubt.
Yeah, vandalism.
Right.
Being charged with some sort of vandalism.
So being the good Christian guy that I am, I would just recommend Dan by saying this. I said, look, get this guy's license plate, leave the cops out of it, and let's scheme to get revenge on the guy.
There you go.
Because what would Jesus do?
Okay, he'd get revenge.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It says so in the Bible. In the book of revenge in the Bible, that's what it says. And that's what I believe you should do, and Limey's in agreement.
Is that right after Revelation?
It is.
You go Revelation and then revenge.
Revenge, right. And it's in alphabetical order.
I believe the full passage is turn the other cheek and then get revenge.
Right. That's exactly right. I remember Sister Mary Elephant taught me that in fifth grade.
I'm in.
All right.
I'm in for it. All right. I will have him get the license number, and then we can go from there.
Well, let's see what we can glue to. Let me take this back.
No.
Let's see what society, somebody out there, might decide to glue to his windshield.
Yeah.
You know what would some options be to glue onto his windshield?
Food is a horrible thing.
How about a roadkill carcass?
Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Any raw meat in the middle of summer, that's a horrible thing to stick to somebody's car. Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
What would Jesus do?
I know. Well,
probably scallops.
See, I don't think they had roads when Jesus was around, so roadkill probably wouldn't have been an option for him. Of course, they probably had dead animals. They just didn't call them roadkill. They just called them sandkill.
Lunch.
Or they just called them, forest kill. Well, I mean, what river
chariot.
Kill? River kill?
Chariot kill.
Chariot kill.
Yeah
they call them chariot kill. I got it.
Okay.
Is that it, Dan?
That's it.
All right, so we're getting revenge on somebody, and Limey had a street taco bonanza over the weekend.
It was delicious.
The Burke segment. Now, I want to get Limey's expertise on this next subject here. Apparently, I don't even know what their titles are. Is it Duke and Duchess Harry Windsor and Meghan Markle had a child today? Is that
accurate? Yeah, they did. Their first child was born earlier today. I don't know if they've decided on a name yet. There's lots of speculation going around. One, they're going to go with either Arthur or James, but then others are saying that they're going to go with like an African name, because apparently like once the child is doing well and they're out of the hospital, they're going to move to Africa. Like there's some nation in Africa they're going to move to help kind of bring tourism and some resources to the area.
So first of all, there's two wives to Harry, and what's his brother's name?
William.
Harry and William, right? They both have wives. What's William's wife's name?
That's Kate Middleton.
Kate Middleton. Okay, William got married to Kate Middleton first, then Harry married Meghan Markle after that, right? Uh-huh. And Meghan is been married once before.
Yeah, she's the American divorcee.
Now, dun, dun, dun. Princess Diana was married to Prince Harry.
Yeah. No, she was married to Prince Charles.
Who's still alive. Harry's mother. Prince Charles is the son of the queen that won't croak. What's her name?
Elizabeth. She's Elizabeth II.
Queen Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
You think when they came up
God bless her.
You think when they came up the phrase long live the queen, you think they meant for this long?
Not that long.
Okay. Elizabeth.
Isn't she 100 or 101 or something?
She's close. She's getting up there. She's in her late 90s.
Did Prince Charles ever remarry?
He married Camilla Parker Bowles.
Right. Camilla, okay. All right. And they had two. So Prince Charles and Diana had two kids, William and Harry. Right?
Yep.
William married Kate, Harry married Meghan. Now, question of the day.
Sure.
Queen Elizabeth, who apparently still has some clout despite being she's like 101 years old, why does she only allow one of the two wives of her grandsons to wear jewelry that was once worn by Princess Diana, and why is the other one not allowed to wear that jewelry? I don't get it.
That I don't know. I know that rule has recently been overturned because I think there was a lot of people asking questions. I think it had something to do with like her station in the now royal household and the
her amount station?
Of, yeah, her station.
What's that and mean?
The, Like
her rank?
Yeah, okay, her rank. There you go, her rank. Sergeant? I think it might have something to do with that. I'm not sure. That whole thing is beyond me. I heard rumors that, like, you know, the Queen wasn't really that impressed with her because she wasn't doing a lot of public service, which is what the royal family is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was like a punishment or something. But that's recently been overturned, so now she's allowed to wear the jewelry. But why? I have no idea.
What's the significance of either one wanting to wear her jewelry? Just because it's the mother of the husband's jewelry?
Yeah, and I think it's also kind of to...
Do they get to keep it, or do they get, are they lease it, or do they get to keep it, or how does that work?
Well, I mean, they don't have to pay to wear it or anything like that, but I think it's owned by, like, the family trust or something, because it was purchased with family money. So it's technically not Charles's anymore. It's not, like, it's still classed as Princess Diana's. But I think they're allowed, like, they want them to wear it because that looks good for the people. Like, there's lots of photographs and, like, you know, where she was at public events and things like that, where she would wear a certain necklace or a certain brooch. So they're trying to win good favor.
But like in that movie How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days with Matthew McConaughey, there was a scene there where women were wearing jewelry, but they could only wear it for the party, and at the end of the party they had to give it back because it was worth so much. That's what I'm asking is,
when the queen bequeaths
I don't even know if that's the right word, when the queen allows either these two women to wear Prince Diana's jewelry, do they get to keep it afterward, or it's like you got to give it back tomorrow? Or
no,
like a week-long lease, or how does that work?
They'll probably get to wear it for the event, and then after that it gets given back to a cleaner, and then it probably goes back into the royal safe.
Got it.
Isn't that what the stars do on the red carpet? I think they wear stuff
that they don't actually
own. Yeah, they don't own it.
Like some companies just ask them to wear it, so they have to give it back, whereas this... like, they're wearing it to kind of, like, you know, represent Princess Diana. So the royal family owns it. They just don't have it, like, you know, in a jewelry box next to their bed.
And last question on this subject. I know we don't talk about this a whole lot on the show, but, you know, it is today's big day. There's a baby being born.
Right.
Jasper.
Jasper the what?
I don't know. Jasper Windsor.
They're not calling him Jasper, Dan.
Why are you saying Jasper?
Dan? I don't know. I just like that name. I think that'd be a good name for the kid.
Well, before the game, you also like Kunta Kinte. They're not going to name the kid that.
No.
So Kunta Kinte Windsor? Jasper Windsor? People quit naming their kid Kunta Kinte after roots. All right? It's like The Omen. People quit naming their kid Damien after The Omen. Once The Omen came out, nobody in America named their kid Damien for like 20 years. Right? And only now is that are they starting to make a comeback. And now nobody's going to name their kid Donald for the next 20 years.
Maybe Clark.
Clark Windsor?
Clark Windsor.
No, that ain't going to happen. Well, he's going to have some unique and...
Who gets to say so, I guess, is that's what I'm getting to. I mean, does the queen have input? Or, Harry?
None of them.
Or Charles?
Maybe when it was actually William's kid, because William's kid is one day going to be king. So they wanted, like, you know, a name that's going to sound more British.
A kingly name?
You know, more kingly.
Once the queen croaks and Charles becomes king, all right, then once he bites the dust, the oldest son becomes king after that, right? Now, if William dies, does his son get it or does his brother get it?
George will get it, the young kid.
It goes to the kid before the brother.
That's how it is.
Wow.
That's how it is. So Harry... He used to be like third in line for the crown. Now I think he's like sixth, because you've also got the other daughters as well. So
See, that's what fascinates me about watching all like the Tudors and even Game of Thrones. All these people that are stabbing people to death so that they don't take their line.
Now he's not going to be like they're not going to like you know crown a child. They'll probably wait until he's 18 or something like that. So you have somebody like a viceroy be in charge of the country until he's. Harry might take up the mantle until he's of age, but it's not going to be like Game of Thrones where it's like, okay, this 8-year-old is the last living member of this family, therefore he's in charge of the house.
Got it.
That doesn't happen.
I believe I understand now. Dan, you have any more questions on British lineage and heritage?
No. Were they upset when Charles was cast to be Dumbo's fill-in in case anything happened to Dumbo in the movie?
I don't think they were outraged, no.
Okay.
No,
he's still growing into those ears.
Yes.
It's a problem, you know. I've got relatives that never grew into their ears.
Well, I mean, he's lucky that he's the Prince of England because he's an ugly guy. I mean, he's got a nose and ears that just, wow, man. Good thing he was in the Air Force, I tell you.
Oh, That's bad.
45 after the hour. You're listening to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Tim Woodburn, Trevor Phillips, and Dan Strauss sitting in for Frank and Pena. I have to touch on, I know we don't talk about sports a lot on this show. I have to talk about the Blues game last night because I know Dan's a massive hockey fan and a lot of our listeners are hockey fans. I was walking through Jefferson Barracks Park yesterday afternoon, actually in a hike. My back's been bothering me, so I went to try and stretch it out a little bit, and I wanted to go to a different park. And so I got out and I walked around for about a mile there. And I kid you not, in the middle of nowhere, on a bench, there was two women that had to be in their late 70s, if not older. Had to be in their late 70s. And they were talking loud. I could hear them talking loud as I was approaching. As I'm passing them, guess what they're talking about, Dan?
The Blues?
The Blues. Remember what the Blues game is going to get played later that day. And one woman's trying to explain to the other woman, you know, how the best of seven breaks down and who's playing who and what happens if they win the whole bit. And these two old gals are talking about the Blues.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was pretty cool that that'd be the last thing I would have expected the two of them to talk about. Having said that, and I know they talked about this hard on the last show, and they'll be talking about it tonight on the Cam Jansen show, which follows ours. I was a minor league hockey announcer for 10 years, and I probably called close to 1,000 games in my lifetime, and above and beyond all the games that I've watched. 99% of the time, I would say, on an occurrence in which Dallas goalie Ben Bishop took a shot to the head area that knocked the stick out of his hands. The stick went flying. He flopped back. He kind of did the splits a little bit, and then he flopped back, and he was clutching and grabbing his neck. I will tell you, 99 out of 100 times, even though the rule says the ref's not supposed to blow the whistle until the team that has the injured player regains possession of the puck, when it's the goalie, not necessarily once a winger or four, but when it's the goalie, Dan, 99 times, 99.9% of the time, they will immediately blow the whistle dead, saying the goalie's in a helpless position, he's unable to defend himself, and they'll stop play. Even after watching that goal last night, as many times I rewatched it, I still am in total shock that the ref did not blow the whistle immediately as he went down.
I'm not, because as soon as that happened, I could tell, I mean, his legs were moving and he was flopping around a little bit, and I even told Sandy, I'm like,
but his hands were still up to his neck. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You don't know,
oh, yeah.
You don't know if he's cut.
Yeah.
You don't know if his you know.
When did he get hit?
In the third period.
He got hit in the collarbone.
Yeah. It hit him right here in the collarbone. It knocked him back.
Yeah.
And his stick went flying. But the whole time he was down, he was grabbing his throat.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know if the jugular's been pierced. You don't know if his larynx is caved in. You don't know anything. And the Blues had the puck. And the offensive, and when a goalie's down like that, he's in a completely helpless position to defend himself. God forbid the rebound came right back to Parayko and he drilled another one right into the side of his head again. Luckily, I mean, seriously, think about it. That, just as easily as the puck caromed out to Steen, who circled around and shot and Schwartz tipped it in, what would have happened if the rebound had come right back to Parayko? He'd have wound up and let it rip again. And then he's just laying there helpless like a fish. I think if that would have happened, if that specifically would have happened, I just can't believe. Kerry Fraser is a longtime NHL referee, and he even said after the game that he was stunned they didn't blow the whistle. To Dallas's coach's credit, Jim Montgomery, he said, you know, the rule is the rule. It is what it is. One of the Dallas players, Klingberg, said he thought the play should have been stopped. Montgomery, their coach, said no. Berube, the Blues coach, just kind of said, hey, you know, the refs called what they call. You know, he's not going to step into that. We got the Blues got the benefit of the call. I just was all the times I've seen a goalie get hurt, Dan, I was just really, really stunned. I think the Blues really caught a break last night with that.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't call it, but I'm glad they didn't. They went by the rule book. I mean, it says it in the rule book to do that if they don't think and the ref was right there. So he was right there to see if Bishop was screaming, oh, my God, my collarbone, or whatever, right. Whatever he was doing.
To the ref's credit, the rebound caromed out to Steen, and he immediately turned and went to the net. And to the ref's credit, he recognized that as a scoring opportunity and didn't blow the whistle.
Yeah.
I think if Steen would have either dropped the puck off to a defenseman or made a play to a wingman who maybe wasn't necessarily positioned to shoot or just kind of threw it cross-ice, I think at that point, if Bishop's still down with his hands to his throat, I think they blow it dead, even though the rule says they don't have to. It's a discretionary call in the rule book. Jim Montgomery said that. I looked it up online last night so I would know the rule before I came on the air today. It's discretionary. They don't have to let play continue. It's discretionary, and that ref discretionarily allowed play to continue. The Blues scored 4 seconds after Bishop got hit in the collarbone. I think if it would have extended to 7 or 8, seconds of continuous play, and he's still down there flopping. I think the ref would have blown the whistle, and I don't think the Blues would have argued.
I think so. Yeah, if it would have gone any further, like, you're right, if Steen would have passed it back, and then we would have passed it to the other point, and then gone down and tried to play keep away, I think the refs would have stopped it.
And here's the other thing. Josh Bauman, who's coming on in the next hour, God love the kid. He has spent all weekend, and Dan ratted him out, and now I'm going to rat him out further. He's probably listening to this on the way, or he's in the green room.
He's here. Yeah, he's here right now.
Are your Game 7 tickets still for sale, Josh?
Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
No, it only took 5 minutes for them to
sell. How much did you get?
I got well over face value.
Now, Josh, you know we're not going to let you off the hook with that. How much did the tickets cost?
So three tickets cost me $243 a game. So for all three tickets, it was $243.
Okay.
I sold them for $525.
All right. So let's see. $525 minus $243. Let's see. The two, carry the eight there. $411.
He made like $4,500.
$4,100.
That pays for all of my playoff tickets.
There you go.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
But Josh told me, because I kind of said, what are you doing? Not going to a game seven. So tell us, Josh, what happened.
I'm taking one for the team. Every game that I have gone to in the playoffs, they've lost.
How many have you gone to?
I've gone to one each round.
Okay.
And they've lost horribly. Ugh. So I'm taking one for the team and not going to this game. So they will win. And I am also, I am probably going to listen on the radio, because when I watch them on TV, they play bad. And when I listened on the radio yesterday, I was driving home, they scored, I turned on the TV, they let up a goal, I was disposed in another area of the house listening on the radio, and the Blues scored, so I stayed outside and listened on the radio the rest of the game.
So you think the axis of this world revolves around your personality and karma?
Absolutely.
Such that if you're watching a game, it's actually going to affect the outcome of a game that's thousands of miles away from you because you're Josh Bauman.
It worked yesterday.
And there's a shirt that I wear.
Mm-hmm.
That I did not wear when they lost, I wore it yesterday, and they won.
There you go.
So I will be wearing this shirt tomorrow.
What's the shirt say?
It's the Blues. It's a blue shirt. Oh. It's a St. Louis Blues shirt. Yep. I'm wearing the Windsor Spitfires shirt today for Cam Jansen. He played for the Windsor Spitfires. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize Tim was such a Dallas fan whining about that no call yesterday.
I'm not whining about it. I'm not whining about it. I'm saying that as a former hockey play-by-play broadcaster for 10 years, I've seen plenty of goalies get hit and go down, and it's been my experience that 99.9% of the time, the whistle blows. And
Go ahead.
Sorry,
go
Josh. Ahead. Yeah. That's all right. One listener texted over that apparently the Blues announcers during the game yesterday saying that how Bishop has been known to embellish when he goes down, so they thought that maybe he was like a crying wolf scenario. So.
You know, I'll tell you what, though. In a 2-1 game, because that made it 3-1, in a 2-1 game, that's way too risky to embellish that, because for him to embellish and just lay there and leave the net completely unprotected, which it was when Schwartz scored, I can't believe that.
Well, he went back behind the net, and was it Perron that slashed him?
Yeah.
And it wasn't that.
Right.
Tapped him.
It was a tap, and he went down like a soccer player.
Like he got shot.
Yeah.
Well, and there was game two.
Come on,
he had a skate issue in game two, and he skated over to the bench and had a real nice 5-minute delay a game while he was trying to fix his skate.
Too. Yeah.
You know, and I'm not whining in favor of Dallas. I'm saying that one Dallas player, their Klingberg, who is one of the top players on the team, said after the game he thought the whistle should have blown. Montgomery said, no, Montgomery didn't say the refs made the right call. He just said it's a discretionary call. So he didn't exactly side with them, but he's got to be PC because they're still a game seven. You don't want to go making fun of refs or getting fined or anything like that. To the other players' credit on Dallas, like Jamie Benn, their captain, you know, to his credit, they didn't whine and complain. They said it is what it is. Let's move on. So forth and so on. TJ Moe, who's on the show prior to this, actually speculated on air that when Sammy Blaze scored the fourth Blues goal on a how many guys you seen take a slap shot on a breakaway,
by the way?
I think the last guy I saw do that was Rob Ramage. Sammy Blaze scores the fourth goal 33 seconds after that, and TJ Moe said that he didn't, even though the puck didn't go in on Bishop's glove side, he said that he didn't think Bishop could move his arm and thought he might have broken his collarbone because he couldn't move his hand. Now, they say he's okay.
He's starting tomorrow.
Well, we'll see.
Well, here's what I think. I think what happened was Bishop was still a little stunned by that, even though they probably said, let's take you out. And he's like, no, I want to stay in. So he's the one that made the decision, and they went ahead and let him stay in. So he stayed in, and then when Blaze comes down and takes that shot, first of all, a goalie, when you have a guy coming in on a breakaway, you're not expecting a guy to just stop there and take a slap shot.
From the top of the circle.
I think he was a little shocked and taken back and wasn't expecting that at all.
Well, he had a 2-0 with O'Reilly, and you know, when I first saw him lift the stick up like he was going to rip a shot, I'm like, okay, this is going to be a fake, and he's going to fake the shot and pass to O'Reilly, because they basically had a 2-0.
Yeah.
And I was stunned when he ripped it, and then I was stunned at what side of the net he beat him on. So.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what happened. I think Bishop was completely shocked at that.
Do we have time for Sharon's call before we break, Limey?
Do we have a caller? We have to.
Is it Sharon?
Yeah, it says on our screen it's Sharon.
Oh,
is so that... you just kind of have to answer. You know what? Don't worry. I'm going to figure out how to do it from here. Here we go. All right, there we go.
There you go.
Hi, Sharon. Oh, hi, Sharon. You're on the air. Is your name Sharon?
No.
You don't sound like a Sharon.
Gotta go.
Yeah, see, way to go, Dan. This is why you answer the phone and screen him.
See, now, the line, we have caller ID on these phones, and the line came up as Sharon Haas. I think he got offended that I called him Sharon. Or maybe that was like an ex-girlfriend of his that he's still using her phone, and he didn't want
to hear.
And you just threw out her last name.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you just threw out her last name as well.
Hey, I know.
I need to do something here, because Scott Sherman and I did this on Saturday with Matt Grover and David Solomon. We played this song Saturday because Scott thinks that this should be the song instead of Gloria, because they kind of stole Gloria from the Philadelphia Eagles, that whole backstory when they were watching a playoff game and everything. So we played this song, and this is from the movie Slapshot.
Mm-hmm.
We played this song on Saturday saying this should be the blues song, so I have to play it today because we played it the day before Sunday, and this is Maxine Nightingale, and this was in the movie Slapshot.
It's a good song.
Slapshot?
Yeah, it was in Slapshot.
Where in Slapshot?
I don't know where, but it was in the movie Slapshot. I'd have to go back and look at and watch Slapshot again.
I've seen Slapshot 50 times and don't remember this song in Slapshot.
Oh, yeah, it's in there.
I know this movie, this song is also in Starsky and Hutch. Yeah.
Well, Einstein, what movie was Gloria in?
I have no idea.
Do you know, Dan?
No.
I don't know where this Gloria thing came out. I'm like, I know the song, but I have no idea why all of a sudden it's really popular and people are singing it.
I'm going to guess, and this is not a concrete, and I'll correct myself in the 4 o'clock hour if necessary. I'm going to guess Gloria is from the movie Flashdance.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think it is.
Gloria song. Here we go. Laura Branigan. It came out in 1982. Yeah. Let's see.
Is this one where he goes, Gloria?
Yeah,
that one.
Okay. Yeah, that's Laura Branigan.
I just had somebody text me, though, that say that the song Gloria is on the movie Slapshot was when the booster bus comes up.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
When they're riding in the booster bus comes up. So I guess that was a song on the booster bus.
Oh, it says here on the text Maxine line by somebody called Donald Trump's Russian spy, a thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
The best character in Slapshot is Mo. What a perv. There you go.
So we played this on Saturday during the yard sale and said that this should actually be the song. We played this for the Blues, and so I'm playing it today for the Blues for tomorrow night's 7th game.
All right. Well, where are you playing it at?
Right here. We just played it.
Oh, you're playing it in the studio. Okay.
Yeah, we just played it.
I thought you said tomorrow night.
No, bad. for their game tomorrow night.
1 hour of broadcast. Excellent.
Huh?
Still to come, because that hour certainly wasn't. So hopefully this next hour will be 1 hour of broadcast. Excellent. We're filling in for Frank Opinion today. He'll be back with you tomorrow. Josh Ballman on Tech comes your way in the 4 o'clock hour after the news.
This is Jim Hayes. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. There's no word so far on the cause of a jet crash that reportedly killed 14 people who were heading from Las Vegas to Mexico. BNO News says contact with the plane was lost yesterday after it left McCarran Airport, and the craft was later discovered in a mountainous area. The news site says the passengers had just attended a boxing match in Vegas. The measles outbreak in the U.S. is getting worse.
New information from the CDC shows 764 measles cases across 23 states. That's the highest figure in the U.S. in 25 years. 60 new cases of the illness have been reported in just the past week. Lisa Carter, NBC News Radio.
Michael Cohen hopes the U.S. will be a place without xenophobia, injustice, and lies by its leader by the time he leaves prison.
There still remains much to be told, and I look forward.